Hey everybody, it's Kyle with another episode of the Corner Office Podcast. Conversations that I have with people running the companies that are changing the world we live in. And that's actually real, especially with today. I'm talking to Reshma Saujani. She is the CEO and founder of Girls Who Code. It's a nonprofit that's trying to get more women into tech careers, starting with girls in middle school and high school. Think about clubs in schools across the country, also summer programs with some of the biggest tech companies out there. Most recently, also, they've published some books, including the first installment of a fictional series about five girls who join a coding club at their school. So here it is, my interview with the CEO of Girls Who Code, Reshma Saujani is her name, recorded in person right here at Marketplace World headquarters in Los Angeles.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Reshma Saujani, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Give me the elevator pitch. I was going to say origin story, but I want the elevator pitch. When you went out and said, listen, I've got this idea, what did people say?
Well, Girls Who Code's a movement. You know, we're a nonprofit, but we like to say that we're a movement. Hmm. And our goal is to close the gender gap in computer science and technology. So basically, over the past 40 years, we've had this dramatic decline of women in tech. If you walked into a computer science classroom in the 1980s, almost 37% would have been female. Hmm. And today, that number is less than 18%, which is kind of crazy, right? At a time where technology is a part of everything that we do and automation is changing our world by the minute, we're leaving girls behind.
You don't code, right?
No.
So how did you come to this?
I'm a total weird person to lead this movement. So, you know, when I was 33 years old, I was...
Sorry, which was how long ago?
Oh, my God. I'm 41 now.
Thank
you for starting this morning with, like, depressing me.
Context is everything.
I ran for Congress at 33 in a New York City Democratic primary. And as part of that experience, I would go visit schools. And I'd go into computer science classes and robotics labs, and I saw a lot of boys.
Yeah.
And it didn't make sense to me. You know, I'm the daughter of refugees. You know, my parents came here with nothing. I've had a job since I was 12. And I always feel like, you know, I'm very much the product of the American dream. And I think that when I go around this country, and even when I was going to New York City public schools, like, we're not. And I really believe that girls are being left behind because the world's changed. You know, 45% of all of our breadwinners today are women. And they're not going into the jobs of today and tomorrow where they can make $120,000 as a year.
It should be said here, you did not win that run for Congress.
I did
not
win
that
run.
Otherwise,
we
probably
wouldn't
be sitting here.
I'm like a serial failed politician. I ran twice and lost twice, yes.
But the question then is, how do we account for the fact that women are getting most of the college degrees these days, but they're just not represented in the hard sciences and specifically computer engineering?
Because we're pushing them out. Because when they turn on television or they open up a magazine and they look at what a computer scientist looks like, it doesn't look like them. You know, the fact that we have Barbie dolls that say, I hate math, let's go shopping instead. That we can walk into a Forever 21 and buy a T-shirt that says I'm allergic to algebra. That they see movies like Mean Girls, where she gets an A on a math test and crosses it out for a D just to get a boy to like her. You know, we send messages to our girls every single day that this is not for you. And they're listening, unfortunately. So you got to change culture.
I was in Seattle the other day talking to Satya Nadella at Microsoft.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, we see girls being interested in this stuff at 11 and 12 years old and maybe even a little older. But then they get out there and they discover as female professionals in the computer sciences that it's terrible.
Yeah.
That there's misogyny and sexism and it's awful. Are you hoping to overcome that by volume, right? Getting more women out there?
Is 1,000%. That's why we wrote this book. I mean, I've been on a book tour for the past 5 weeks and it starts earlier than that. I have had so many girls say to me, I'm the only girl in my computer science class. And after a couple of weeks, I didn't want to be the only girl in my computer science class. So, you know, part of why we wrote this book is to, like, change what a computer scientist looks like, to make it fun, to make it interesting, to create bravery. The only way you change the misogyny and sexism that you're seeing in the Valley is pure infiltration. Numbers, numbers, numbers. You need to create a critical mass. And I think that we can do that. I think we can do it in less than a decade. And I think we just have to commit to it, which means we have to be thoughtful and intentional about getting girls into these subjects. We need more movies like Hidden Figures. Yep. We need more books like we just wrote, where the characters are five girls from all walks of life. And, you know, we're explaining, you know, that algorithms are really muffin recipes, right? We're making it accessible and fun and not something that's like nerdy and not cool and not relevant.
So about these books, so you've got the one called Girls Who Code, Learning to Code and to Change the World. There's another one sort of in the same genre,
right,
written by a colleague of yours, which is a the analogy that my producer and I came up with was it's sort of like American Girl.
Yeah.
Right? You go to the American Girl store and there are these books that tell the stories of these girls and get younger girls involved. Thematically, I guess, is the way, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of also like Babysitting Club meets Coders,
right?
Which is so popular with the girls. And it's about boys and drama and mystery, and we sneak in a little algorithms and conditionals. And it's about friendships.
Is that like putting vegetables into a fruit smoothie or something?
It is.
You know?
It is.
And you're okay with that?
I'm okay with that because I think the thing is that we got to meet girls where they're at. And we've turned them off. So we got to turn them on. And that means we have to meet them where they're at.
When you went to Facebook and Google and Apple and Microsoft and said, I got this idea, give me money, in essence, what'd they say?
Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. And one, it was often the women. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
which is kind of problematical, right?
I mean,
it'd be nice if you could get in front of Tim Cook and Nadella and Zuckerberg.
Well, I do. And, you know, for example, at Twitter was one of our very first partner. It was Dick, you know, Costell.
Dick Costell, former CEO,
And Jack Dorsey.
One of the founders.
Yeah. Men are a huge part of this movement, not just from a CEO perspective, but from a dad perspective.
Yeah. Well, okay. So it's not the men who are the issue, right?
Right.
It's the bros who are the issue.
The bros are the issue because they're turning girls off. I mean, I was thinking about this. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of interesting, right, that you always think that there's a difference between East Coast wealth and West Coast wealth. Right. The East Coast are kind of the hard-nosed hedge fund guys that like have been treating women like crap forever. And the West Coast guys are younger, you know, grew up with feminist moms. So they're supposed to be a little bit different. And unfortunately, what we've seen in the past couple of months is they're not that much different. And it's kind of lifted this veneer off the valley. And they have to work really, really hard to change that. And that when misogyny rears its ugly head, they got to shut it down. And, you know, they do that one by being very clear in the way that they treat people and really make sure that they knock this stuff out. But also in that they invest in programs like Girls Who Code, that they make a commitment to think about how they can encourage more women to get in this field and to stay when they're there.
Right.
Because that's the thing. The almost 40% will leave within the first couple of years.
Right, which is the problem we talked about. You have a history now with this and with the girls you started with. Are you in touch with any of them who are now professionals in the field? Because they've got to be college graduates by now, right?
Well, we have like six that are just graduated college. So as we've grown by 300% every year, we're going to have critical mass in the next two. Yeah, I was just with a group of them in City Hall in Los Angeles yesterday. And talking about kind of what they're doing, you know, and where they're working and where they're applying to work. All of the girls these were girls in our alumni program in Los Angeles, all of them are majoring in computer science, you know, at various schools across the state and across the country. It's working. This is a problem that's solvable. This is a problem that's solvable. But the big part of solving this problem is disrupting culture. You got to change culture. Because if not, and this is what's happening right now, a lot of boys want to code now because they want to be Mark Zuckerberg and have a $1 billion exit. And it's true because we haven't changed culture. And so we got to do that. We got to change what a computer scientist looks like. We got to change why we encourage people to want to go into technology. You know, this isn't about a $1 billion exit. This is about building products and solutions that are going to change the world. And we have to show them how, by learning how to code, they can do that. They can do something about climate change, solve homelessness, you know, be an advocate on cyberbullying, right? They're change agents.
You said a minute ago, you think you can get it done in a decade.
Definitely.
We're at the 5-year mark.
Yeah.
Give me right?
Girls Who Code's at the 6-year mark.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've taught 40,000 girls to code. We graduated 40,000 computer science graduates last year. of which 8,000 were women. I'm going to have 10,000 new computer science graduates on college campuses in 2018. But it's not just me in this movement. There's a lot of amazing people that are investing in this. But we got to continue to put resources behind this. We have to continue to have people, you know, buy books like this. Like, it's one girl, one coder, one book at a time.
I'm going to take this book and I'm going to give it to my 10-year-old.
Yes.
Who reads voraciously. What do you want to have happen?
One, I know she's going to fall in love with that book. Two, I want her to want more. And three, I wanted her to give it to a friend.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, so that's it for my interview with Reshma Saujani. She's the CEO and founder of Girls Who Code. Another one, obviously, coming up next week. In the meantime, though, please do consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, would you? The good ones, you know, 5 stars, that'd be nice. If not, we get it, but be kind. This episode was produced by Bridget Bonder. Marketplace is produced by Nancy Fargali. Sitar Nieves is the executive producer. Deborah Clark is the senior vice president and general manager. I'm Kai Rizdal. We will see you next time.